Hey, First Chapter listeners, Engineer Mike here. In between when we recorded this episode and when it was released, the author we talk about today, Dr. Werner Vinge, died of Parkinson's at the age of 79. We're all very sad to see him go, especially me, as now I and his readers will never know how his Zones of Thought series actually ends. So just keep that in mind when you're listening to the episode. We like to have fun here, and we'll have a little bit of irreverent humor, but all of us here love books and the authors who write them. Rest in peace, Dr. Vinge.
Test, test, test. Okay, it's working now.
Can you hear me?
What is that from?
Do you care? It's an old song.
From what?
Just an old 80s song. What, have you heard that before?
You do that so often, and I've always wanted to know what the hell that's from.
Do you hear me?
What is it? Do no, seriously, you, what
it,
is it from?
It's an 80s song. Let me look it up.
Okay.
Let's see. Do you hear me? Do you care?
This, we're not going to be able to get past the podcast without figuring out what the hell this is from.
Do you hear me? It was by a band called The Missing Persons.
The Missing Persons. Yep, that is an obscure enough band name. Of course, you would know.
Well, I mean, I only know this because of a Beavis and Butthead episode where they're watching this music video.
Okay.
And you
never
know,
mind.
Lyrics,
I take that back.
The lyrics are going, "Do you hear me?" And like Beavis goes, "Yeah." And they go, "Do you care?" And Buddy goes, "No."
You're listening to First Chapters, a podcast from Grey Cat Books, with your hosts, Engineer Mike and Nina McNamara. Ever wanted to know if the first few pages of a book were good enough to continue reading? Will a book be engaging enough, or will it bore you to death? Then keep listening. The plot thickens.
All right, now we'll introduce ourselves.
All right.
I'm Engineer Mike, and...
I'm Nina McNamara, an author who apparently doesn't know anyone.
That's not true. You know quite a few people.
Not any famous authors.
You know more people than I do.
I know people. I don't know any famous authors, though.
You know famous authors.
I know.
You just don't get to talk with them from time to time. Like, you know, some people, some members of the podcast.
Yes, please continue dropping Charlie Strauss's name.
Talk from time to time. Yeah, that's okay.
Anyway, this is First Chapters, where Engineer Mike challenges me to read one of his favorite books.
A book from the bookshelves of Engineer Mike that Nina would not normally read a book from.
This is very true.
Yes, that's what makes it interesting.
And I see how far I can get before I tap out.
No, that's very true. Yeah, there's no maximum amount of chapters you can read. There is no minimum amount of chapters you can read. It's all worthy of a story.
That's correct. And yes, the introduction counts as a chapter.
I'm just going to have to disagree with you.
You can disagree with me
chapters,
all you
chapters
want,
start at one,
son.
As in the Roman numeral one. Chapters don't start with the word prologue.
Okay, sometimes there's no chapter delineation in a book.
Well, then the first bit of story is the chapter.
No, no, no.
You are the author here.
I
There is one author on this podcast, and it is not I.
This is very correct. It is not ye. So, what book are we reading today?
Today, we are reading a very famous book, if you're in the SF world. If you're not in the SF world, probably not famous to you, but famous in the SF world. It's called A Fire Upon the Deep, which I constantly call A Fire in the Deep, and continuously said that wrong up until maybe an hour before this podcast. I was like, oh, I thought this was A Fire in the Deep. Nope, Fire Upon the Deep.
By
Werner Vinge.
Not to be confused with Rolling in the Deep by Adele.
That's a totally different type of content.
Or Fire in the Sky.
No.
The 1993 horror movie, really.
Oh, yeah. Underappreciated movie.
Very good movie.
Yeah. So,
Engineer Mike, what are you reading?
All right, what I am reading right now, I am reading...
You're not reading anything, are
you? No, I'm always reading something. I'm reading three books right now, as a matter of fact. I tried to pick which one. I hope I didn't already talk about it. No, I didn't already talk about it. I'm reading another book by Charles Strauss.
Your friend.
No, not my friend. No, we're not friends.
Your bestie.
No, we're not. No, that's ridiculous. The man does not know who I am. It's a book in his other series of books called The Laundry Files, which he has way more of a liking to today.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked to him and he said, Accelerando doesn't really describe his body of work today. I feel like this book would more describe his, mm-hmm. his body of work. And it's a series of books in a universe where... This is such a nerdy thing. The occult and technology kind of interact, and things like demon summonings and spells are actually cast with computer stuff. Saying it out loud, this is the single fucking nerdiest thing I may have ever said.
It just reminds me of the cyber pagans in
it's
Buffy.
It's very much like that. And not to say that the cyber pagans were an inspiration for these novels. These novels take place in a hypothetical British intelligence organization where in order to maintain
it's called the Watcher Society?
No. It's called the Laundry, actually. Okay. And where, in order to keep up with the other superpowers in the world, Britain has to kind of delve into the occult because it can't match the other superpowers technologically anymore.
I see.
So it kind of delves into the occult and becomes specialized in that.
So it's like an MI...
I think MI6 is the secret organization. This would be like MI8 or something like that. You know,
I see.
Like the occult branch or something. Okay. And I'm really enjoying them. You know, they're a series of books that are very fun. I don't want to say they're not meant to be serious because I can't imagine what the writer meant when he wrote them. But they're definitely like a fun series of books. Not irreverent like Terry Pratchett.
Yeah, Terry Pratchett.
Not like Terry Pratchett, but they're definitely, and I wouldn't call them like tongue-in-cheek, but they're just, the books are supposed to be very fun, too. Because the main character is kind of sarcastic and not exactly a fish out of water in this world. He's one of the agents in this organization, but he is kind of a newer one, and he's always experiencing new things in this world, and you're experiencing things through his eyes. And they're very fun books. very nerdy, but it doesn't happen too often where an author will unite both like a fascination with the occult and with technology. Well, you know, summoning circles would be made with certain electrical fields and things like that.
So you spend enough time on Tumblr, you're going to run into...
Cyberpagans?
Yeah.
There are cyberpagans out there, yes.
Yeah, this isn't that nerdy to me. This is just the male half of that.
Cyberpaganism.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is so nerdy. And I'm like, you haven't spent time on Tumblr between the years 2012 and 2018.
Well, I did, but I wasn't in those circles.
Yet. Yeah, I was. I was like, okay.
Well, there was a lot of cyber pagans on Tumblr back in those years.
Of course.
Weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
They still exist.
Oh,
too.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
As they always will.
Mm-hmm.
Being a timeless organization.
They're just my age now, and they're tired.
No, they are learned.
That too. Mm-hmm. That's the nice way of putting it.
All right. So what are you reading this week?
You will be very impressed and pleased to know that I am about 80% of the way through Under the Skin by Michael Faber.
Yeah. How are you liking it?
I really like it. Obviously, I'm almost done with it.
Thank you. Yeah, it is one of my favorite books as well.
Yeah. You were right when you said it was nothing like the movie.
No.
Although the movie did capture the spirit of the novel.
Yes, yes.
The main character of Isserly is not Scarlett Johansson's character, obviously, but she has her own arc. She is her own three-dimensional character. I figured out what's going on. There's no like big reveal. It's like a slow burn.
Yep. You see more of her inner life than you do Scarlett Johansson in the movie.
Exactly. Because it's not just Isserly driving up and down the A9 picking up hitchhikers.
Mm-hmm.
It's also her at the farm dealing with the Vodsel.
Don't Google that.
They reveal what it is. You figure it out pretty quickly what Vodsel is and what they're doing on the farm. It's pretty graphic. It's pretty visceral.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And it's sad.
The book is very sad.
Yeah. And it's sad as in you feel really bad for Isserly what she's going through. Not so much for her coworkers. One other coworker you do.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the Vodsel as well.
Oh, very much so.
No, I really enjoy this book. I'll probably finish this week.
Good. Wow. Do not feel pressured to finish any of the other books that you read on here unless they're very, very good.
I don't think we'll have a special episode like Nina's book report time. No, we're not going to do that. I'll finish this week and I'm very happy I continued reading.
Me too. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. So highly recommended if anyone listening to this gets a chance to either pick it up in ebook or cardboard and paper form. It's really, really good. Probably make you sick to your stomach.
I don't want to say graphic, but though it is kind of graphic. Not graphic in the way that word is usually used.
We talked about this before. Bret Easton Ellis was graphic.
Mm.
He is graphic the way he writes. This is more visceral. This is not necessarily blood and guts, although there's blood and guts in it. This is more just description.
That's good to hear. That's very nice to hear. All right.
Thank you.
Werner Vinge, tiny bit of backstory. I really want to get into your opinions of this book. Guy who's been around a while in the SF world.
Mm-hmm.
Longer than even I expected, because the very first book that I read by him was this book, A Fire Upon the Deep. And when I read it, I was like, wow, what an incredible work of what I consider newer SF, newer science fiction. Not like the golden era that was basically just swashbuckling stories in space. Newer science fiction stories were very, very computers, the technology, maybe even getting into subjects about the technological singularities and whatnot. So I'm like, wow, what an incredible novel, this Fire Upon the Deep. Who is this guy? And then I find out Werner Vinge's been around for 50 years prior to this book.
Right. So this book was published in 1992, right? 1992. At the tail end of the whole cyberpunk era in SF, right?
Well, the cyberpunk era has never really had an ending, so you couldn't really say tail end, but it's definitely within 10 years of the cyberpunk era typically being considered beginning.
When I think cyberpunk, I think of
Neuromancer.
I think of the 80s, like from the late 70s to probably right around this time. Mm-hmm. Definitely Neuromancer dominating, being the seminal novel published.
Yeah, I just clearly wouldn't call it the end of the cyberpunk era, because that type of genre has dominated science fiction since then. It's been mostly that.
So put a pin in that. I want to talk about eras in science fiction and how and it changed.
So A Fire Upon the Deep, I read this book and I'm just like, wow, what a story. It wasn't just my opinion. It also won the Hugo Award that year. And Mr. Vinge has won the Hugo three other times.
Really?
Yes, for three other books.
Since then?
Since then. This was his first Hugo Award. He won it for the book, which was a prequel to this book, called A Deepness in the Sky. Came out about six or seven. These names are so funny to you, aren't they?
I'm sorry.
Just pun worthy.
When you told me, you accidentally said that this book was Fire in the Deep, I said, that's the worst fucking title I've ever heard.
How?
For anyone. Like, it's just so dumb. It is something a fan fiction writer would come up with. I'm like, seriously?
Number one, authors don't choose their titles. No, the traditional publishing you don't get to choose your title.
But still, like, Fire Upon the Deep is slightly better.
The Deepness in the Sky?
We'll talk about words in this book, but anyway.
And then he won it again in the 2000s for a book called A Rainbow's End, which I've been wanting to read for years.
I've heard of this book.
Now, don't get it confused with Gravity's Rainbow.
I am getting it confused with Gravity's Rainbow.
I got it confused with that, but I'd also had heard of Rainbow's End before and had been wanting to read it for years. Did not know it was also written by the same guy. And he's won the Hugo Award three times now. He's also won it for other smaller things. Sometimes authors win it for the novella category or the short story category. He is an extremely well-decorated author. Werner Vinge is. And extremely smart guy. He got his start writing science fiction in the 60s, way back then. The same time as Samuel R. Delaney did. And then, very much like Samuel R. Delaney, didn't write too much for a number of years. Samuel R. Delaney, because, he was doing other things during that time.
Is he a computer guy?
Werner Vinge has, a PhD in math.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew he was a computer guy. I knew he wasn't, by nature, a writer.
He was a writer first. Now, he was a writer before he was a PhD in mathematics, but he was always kind of both things. He had two hats on. One is a writer, and one is a very intelligent person in the field of math and computer science. A brilliant person, he most likely is.
So you can tell who wrote Neuromancer.
I'm not gonna answer. No, if you no, you're gonna remember who wrote Neuromancer at this moment.
Name.
One of the most famous science fiction writers ever. My favorite writer in the history of writing.
Name just flew out of my head.
Well, then it's gonna fly back in a minute here. His last name starts with a G.
Oh, William Gibson.
William Gibson.
Okay. You know how William Gibson isn't a computer guy?
No, absolutely not at all.
Right. But he doesn't try to reach.
Nope. He does not at all.
Yeah.
No. Writes about people.
Right. I could definitely tell that Vinge was a computer guy. He knew his stuff.
Certain chapters are not necessarily science fiction really at all, interestingly enough.
Interesting.
I don't want to tell any more about that, because I really want to get into your thoughts about this particular book, A Fire Upon the Deep. You probably, most likely, will not be reading more of.
Oh, I hated this book.
I had a feeling you...
I hated this book, and I kind of hated you for recommending it.
I have been waiting to recommend this book almost as much as the book that will be probably our season ender for this season, which we don't want to spoil now.
I know what the season ender is. Yeah. I'm not going to spoil it, but
I knew you probably were not going to like it because it is just what's the word when something is hard to.
This book was cringe.
Cringe.
This book was cringe.
No,
I will tell you why. No. We'll get into why this book was cringe.
What are you talking?
There
about?
Were so many goddamn capitalized nouns in it. There were some things that I.
Yeah, not cringe. Cringe. Is a different
this
thing
was
entirely.
This you
unless you mean like literary cringe.
Yes, this book was literary cringe.
All right.
And we're going to talk about the introduction, because I read the introduction and I read the prologue and I stopped. All right, so this is really funny. I want to show you the map.
Sure, yes.
Okay, so I spent a lot of time looking at this map.
Well, I don't know why, but okay.
Oh, you'll know why.
Oh, I think I know why. Yes, yes. The map has a particular, the word is yonic shape to it, perhaps. Yes.
This is just straight up.
It has a yonic shape to it, which if you know what that means, you'll know what we're talking about.
Oh,
if you don't, you're probably too young to know anyway.
Oh, this is a vagina. Yes. This is a pussy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, first of all, look,
there's a line, it's pointing to the unthinking depths, the slow zone. And then the beyond.
Okay, look.
Is this a map of my vagina?
Look, no, writers are allowed to have a little bit of fun sometimes.
Does he know it's a vagina?
I'm sure whoever drew that was definitely thinking about that. And you know what happens sometimes with works? That was probably a first draft. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, we'll change this when it finally gets to print. Some things which are pre-production stuff, which never should have got into the final cut of a work, actually get into there. And maybe that drawing was one of those things. Yes. The drawing is extremely yonic.
It's a relay map, which is the horizontal axis, and everything is like spread out. That's a vagina.
But you know what? Certain forms replicate themselves in nature. And that's just because certain things make sense as far as what nature needs in that moment. And we shouldn't say that this looks like this.
Oh, I can tell you what my nature needs right
or
now.
Or this looks like this. Mm-hmm. It's just that sometimes forms are replicated, like a galaxy may look like an eye to some, or like a flower, and that's just because that's just how shapes end up. Sometimes.
Eyes and flowers.
Yeah, eyes and flowers.
All right,
flowers.
Well, this is bringing out the beast in me. All right,
there we go.
All right,
but anyway, into the actual content of the story that Werner Vinge wrote. Let's talk about that.
So let's talk about the prologue.
Okay, the prologue. All right.
Okay.
Which is such a small section of such a sprawling work.
Here's what irritated me. Right. Immediately, there are those capitalized nouns that I fucking hate. Like, okay, so...
You're more against the capitalized nouns. Yes.
The beyond, again. The power. The high lab is another one. At least the high lab, they explain.
Yeah.
The high lab is, it's a library or it's an archive.
Mm-hmm.
And then the trap. I think the trap is mentioned one. Again, with these fucking vagina things. Okay, so what I understand is that there's some sort of intelligence that's been awoken after 5 billion years.
It's very much like the story, weirdly, when I was thinking about this after we got started, it was like The Exorcist. It's kind of like The Exorcist. There's an archaeological find. Yes, there's
It's
very similar to that. There's an archaeological find which pretty much uncovers the technological version of Pazuzu. That's kind of what it is, yes.
I fucking hate this book even more.
The expression Nina is giving me right now is perfect. Yeah.
It's of absolute hate. I'm so fucking angry right
now. The book, I will admit, the book is a bit, I don't want to say pretentious, but let's say, is high-minded the right word?
Like, at one point...
Full of itself, is that the right word?
Yes. Like, at one point, there's a line that goes something like, none of them suspected, ... the truth.
That's the golden age writing coming out.
Yeah.
That's some, like, 50s style writing.
And then, okay, there's other things that bothered me is that there's two words that are repeated quite frequently that aren't capitalized, but they still bother the shit out of me. The newborn.
Uh-huh.
And the flowering, which I'm sorry, the word the flowering
I'm starting to see a lot of these
so gross.
I'm starting to,
whether it's in print, you know, or said out loud.
This is very interesting that you bring this up, especially with the yonic version of the drawing in the beginning. I'm starting to see some of this now.
This is some meshigo here.
It's not a theme continued throughout the novel, and we'll get into that once we get done talking about the prologue, which saddens me so much that you could only get through the
prologue.
You're
not getting any more of that.
Please, if we're going to do this podcast, at least get through a thing called chapter one, if it exists.
You cannot tell me how much I can and can't read.
I think if
you're not, no.
I think if the podcast's called First Chapters, we should at least read, quote, the first chapter.
I will read that. That is, no, that's content. It's in the book. Ergo, I read it.
All right.
So what I understand is that this evil intelligence wakes up and tries to destroy this frigate in which humans are...
Trying to escape.
They're trying to escape on this frigate.
And they know that they've woken up by that point.
Yeah. They almost get away.
I think there's two ships and one of them is destroyed, but the other one does get away.
Okay.
That may be unclear. From what you read.
Very, very unclear.
The prologue of this book, which I guess we'll consider the first chapters for purposes of...
That it, because it's still important to the book.
I agree. It's the first chapter-y thing of the book you read.
Yeah.
The introduction is not. But the prologue, to be kind, I'll describe it as dense, but not in the way that's like thick with information, just dense as in hard to figure out what the fuck is going on. Does that correctly describe what you read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much talk of flowering and newborns, which is just icky.
The prologue of this book, which I love, is extremely dense with Nina's least favorite thing, capitalized words in your science fiction or fantasy novel. The blah. Nina hates this. Do not do this if you were trying to write a book for Nina. But the book is rich with that, and then very light on description. It's kind of written from the viewpoint of this intelligence that's being woken up.
Yeah.
So it's formless. So thus also is the writing. Does that make sense?
No.
Which is incredibly pretentious.
And the prologue ends with a sentence like, this time, things will be different.
Think of the prologue as a pilot of a show. You can't judge the work on the pilot of the show.
In the book?
It's
no.
in the book because it's important to the story, but yes. One should not stop there.
It's meant to be the jumping off point for the rest of the book. Ergo, if you're going to put something in your prologue.
Yeah, that is incomprehensible.
Yeah. Because prologues are not meant to be skipped.
I agree. They're not like introductions. They're not meant to be skipped.
This does not work as a prologue. It does not work as a first chapter.
I agree. It reminds me of the Morgaine saga, the Morgaine omnibus. Remember how incomprehensible that was?
Yes.
But how then you got into the actual second chapter and it was a lot more comprehensible.
Yeah.
That's why I wish you would have read just one more chapter in this book. Because this book is kind of the same way. You get into the actual meat of the story, and I'll tell you, number one, and you would like this, it stops being science fiction. It's not science fiction
anymore.
What
does it get to be? It's
just another
This is a
story.
Clear space opera.
It is in the prologue. And then at that point, it stops completely.
And it turns into
it
what?
It turns into
a
what
newborn
is like,
flower. This ew,
No.
I just feel gross saying those words.
That whole thing is dropped until much, much, much later in the novel. And the bulk of the first part of the story you're reading, I don't want to say it's a fantasy series because it's not, but it's like, I don't want to say like a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court because I've never actually read it. But
you haven't? That's actually really good.
No, I'd love to read it. Yeah, I read it. It's Mark Twain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I should read that. I agree. Because it keeps coming up in so many different stories I read. A Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court. But it's like that, where basically that one ship that survived in the prologue crash lands on a world with medieval level technology. The story picks up there. And there's like a few survivors that land there. And the residents of that world are A, not human, and B, not an intelligence like we understand intelligence. It's a fascinating thing that you encounter. I wish you had read just one chapter.
Do you want to hear a really nerdy thing?
Sure,
okay,
of course.
So when I was really, really little, back in the 1980s, and after, Reagan deregulated all children's cartoons, so children's cartoons could
turned into commercials.
Could be just commercials.
Yep.
There was a really, really good children's cartoon commercial called Dino Riders.
Yeah.
And Dino Riders was like my favorite ever because so basically it was that which
yeah
you just
exactly
explained.
If you would have loved that, you would have loved to keep reading.
But there
book.
Were no dinosaurs in here.
You didn't get far enough in the book to find out.
Right. But Dino Riders was about a race of two types of people, like basically humans and lizards. And they crash land on Earth. And the humans are the good people, and they go to the dinosaurs, and they're like, oh, we mean you no harm. And they basically enslave the dinosaurs, but they make them do good.
Because the dinosaurs weren't using their potential.
And then the lizard people enslave the dinosaurs to do evil.
To do evil stuff.
Yes.
Because they're also not using their potential.
Correct.
So,
very similar.
Like I say, I would have loved to hear your opinion on just the first chapter of the book, because...
You heard my opinion. It was crap.
On the actual chapter one of the book, because it's
the
just
prologue
completely... If the prologue is incomprehensible, I agree with you, that's a problem. If the good story begins with chapter one, the book should probably start there.
Yeah.
Honestly, a flashback. I've sometimes seen books do that. All prospective authors listening to that... If you're going to have an incomprehensible prologue, stop. Start your first chapter as something good and meaty that grabs the author. And then, like Nina said, in your second chapter flashback, go like, current record scratch. And you're wondering how we got here. That's better than this. Because clearly you hated this.
I did hate this. But again, I don't have three Hugos in which...
No. But, that doesn't mean that you don't know what you're talking about.
Correct. I do know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Vernon Vinge doesn't have three. He actually has, I think, five Hugos. Doesn't mean you don't know what you're talking about. And it doesn't mean that the criticism is not warranted. Because I agree.
Eat my unthinking depths.
I love... That's a very good context-sensitive quote from this book. Thank you. Eat my unthinking depths.
Fuck you, I swear to God.
Just because it's a Hugo Award-winning book does not mean that the criticism of the prologue is goddamn incomprehensible is not valid criticism. It is. It is incomprehensible near nonsense. Just like the first chapter of the Moorgate Omnibus, the book we read back in the first season. And it's sad because the book that passed that point is so good. But I have to wonder, who the hell gets to that point? Like, who reads the prologue, the incomprehensible prologue, and goes, well, I definitely want to read more of this. The only reason why I read more is because it was recommended to me by somebody whose opinion about books I respected. I'm like, okay, that was kind of strange, but I'll keep reading. And then I'm like, oh my God, this is so fucking good. But then who's the first person to do that? Who's the first person that ever bought the first chapter of this book and was like, I'm going to read this even if it's horrible from end to end?
See,
you know, who is that person?
See, that's the thing is that there's a lot of people whose opinions I respect and they'll recommend books or movies or TV shows that suck. So, I mean... Everything is relative.
Yeah.
Ask me the questions because I can't wait to answer them.
Do you think the first chapter of this book works as a first chapter?
What's your opinion of the first chapter? Is it the introduction or is it the prologue?
It's the prologue.
No, it doesn't.
It's clearly not the introduction because the author didn't write the introduction. How could you ever consider the introduction? The damn author didn't write it. It's not their work.
No, the prologue does not work.
Thank you. That I would almost agree with
it's
you.
It's cliched. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense. It's dense. And I didn't like it.
And it was stupid.
And it was dumb. It was silly. It was dumb. It's so immature.
And I think I already know your answer of would you read more.
No.
So I'm more curious as to... Based on what I've told you now and how we shouldn't be considering the introduction as part of it because the author didn't write it, but the prologue should be considered, yes, and maybe if a book has a prologue, considering how different it probably is from the bulk of the text, that we should read the first chapter at least.
I have, though, especially on this podcast. I've read prologues that have been weird and then the first chapter.
Yeah, but you didn't do that for this book.
Because it was so bad. It was so dumb. So, I liked it so little.
Yeah, so that's a perfect answer, but this would be a third question. Highly unorthodox.
Fourth.
No, it's just a third.
No, you asked me the third question.
What's the third question I asked you?
I can't remember.
There's only two questions. We have two questions.
Okay.
This is a consistent thing we do on this podcast every time.
Sorry, ask again.
Here's the third question. We're never going to do it again. Only this one time happening right now. It will never be asked again because I would never, ever ask you to read more than you naturally read because that's part of this whole process. But... What could I possibly say to get you to read just one more chapter of this book? Like, what could as a reader, as an author, as a person who's thinking about the structure of books, if the prologue is so weird, what would you do to make a reader potentially read at least one more chapter? And don't let your answer be just write a different prologue. Yeah, which is a good answer, though.
Tell me that it is as exciting and as page-turning as Under the Skin.
Probably not.
Well, then, no.
So you wouldn't read another chapter?
No. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Damn. I cannot promise that we also do not read the first chapter of Werner Vinge's other Hugo Award-winning
book. You're
not
done punishing me.
It's not a punishment. These books are highly respected books in the SF community.
Okay, now because it's highly respected doesn't mean I'm going to like it.
I don't expect you to like it. I expect you to give it its due. Its due...
It's flowers?
No. You give it its due respect.
You make it flower?
No. I expect you to give it some respect. Insulting this book is just insulted Infinite Jest or something like that.
Okay.
It's also big and sprawling and long.
Look, just because something is big, long, and respected doesn't mean it's going into my unthinkable depths.
That's good.
Thank you.
I will respect you. For your use of book terminology
in this
book. You're not only using it, as a joke, but you're also using it correctly. So apparently some of Mr. Vinji's
I'm very
content
clever.
Did get into your brain.
I'm very right. clever.
Yeah, yes, you are.
Okay, everyone, keep reading.
Keep reading. Keep on reading them first chapters.
Just say keep reading.
Keep reading.
Thanks for listening to First Chapters, a podcast from Grey Cat Books. Your hosts were Nina McNamara and Engineer Mike. Our music was provided by Alex Productions and Virtua Jams. Check out our website at greycatbooks.com for links to our credits. Thanks again for listening.
None of them suspected... the truth.